again reflects meaning of life, the purpose of our living. Purpose of my life is not just only to obtain happiness for myself, not only to solve my own problems. Purpose of my life, or meaning of my life, that is to see the numberless of other sentient beings from whom I receive all my happiness, all the past, present, future, all the happiness from whom I receive all my happiness, temporary and ultimate, up to highest, the full enlightenment. So, including in day-to-day life, all the comfort, all the pleasures from whom I receive. The freedom from all the sufferings and to cause happiness towards all these numberless, these precious living beings. So then we entered it. Feel this, you know. So, I think starting from here, the precious sentient beings who are around oneself here in this hall, from here, the all the rest. From the families, once from family members, people who are at home, you know, starting from there, or from the office, you know, people who with whom one works, associate in everyday life, people who are in the office. However, so starting from those precious sentient beings. And those who are around oneself in everyday life. From here, then all the rest. So this is to freedom from all the sufferings and causes, and to cause all the happiness towards all the sentient beings without discrimination, without exception. This is the meaning of my life, purpose of my living. Now I think I have this responsibility to cause happiness towards all the sentient beings, to free all the sentient beings from all the sufferings and their causes. I have all this responsibility of each sentient being's, you know, happiness, so to say, to cause happiness. to each and every sentient being. So feel this, keep the mind in the state of feeling of the universal responsibility. So one can think, one can elaborate, not just only human beings, that one has a responsibility to cause happiness, not just only the human sentient beings, not only human beings. There's so many other different types of living beings. There are animals, numberless animal beings who are suffering. There are numberless hell beings who are suffering. There are numberless hungry ghosts who are suffering. There are numberless, other beings who are living in the higher planets, Suras, Asuras, those worldly gods. Numberless of them who are suffering. There are numberless intermediate state beings after the death, before reincarnating, before taking a rebirth. There are many beings who are between our suffering, having fears, and experiencing many difficulties. With their with their karmic appearances, so having many fears. So there are many intermediate stage beings who are suffering. So I have a responsibility to cause happiness to all these numberless of these precious sentient beings who are source of all my past, present, future, all the happiness. For this reason, I need to develop. So all the rest of the, not only myself, all the rest of the sentient beings' happiness, temporary, ultimate, the peerless happiness, full enlightenment. All the happiness depends on whether I have compassion or not. You know, it's a loving kindness. And a good heart. So therefore, I need to develop compassion, this good heart within me, the method, that which is the method, and then wisdom I need to develop. So for this reason, then I'm going to do meditation practice, the meditation of prayer, meditation practice, to purify, to collect merit, to plant the seed of it, to plant seed of enlightenment by meditating on the path. By reciting the prayer of the path, the words which shows the essential path of enlightenment. That which plants seed of the whole path to enlightenment, on one's another continuing. And then listening to teaching. So all this, not just for one's own happiness, not just for my own happiness, but for the benefit of to cause all the happiness, temporary ultimate all the happiness to us sentient beings, the precious sentient beings who are numberless. Sentient beings who are like who are more precious than the jewels, than the jewels or wish blinding jewels, who are sentient beings who are most precious one in my life. Now let's bring our attention into the reality of our life, that which is nature of impermanence, impermanent death, and then next, the very nature of the phenomena, nothing, even though everything appears as they exist on their own side, but in reality, nothing slightest even ultimately exists from their own side. Everything are empty. I, action, objects, all the phenomena, nothing exists from their own side. They exist, but they don't exist from their own side. So, bringing our attention in this very nature of phenomena, I, action, objects, all the phenomena, nothing exists from their own side, that everything are empty. What exists is what is merely labeled by the mind. What functioning is a what is functioning is a in a man name. Practicing mindfulness in our daily life, in the nature of the life, there is impermanence, that and emptiness, so forth. In this basic, the nature of the phenomena, nature of the life, nature of the phenomena, the permanent and impermanent phenomena, you know, that is the emptiness. The very nature of the phenomena. So this way, our act, this way, then emotional thoughts do not rise. Frees the mind from the emotional thoughts, those disturbing thoughts, which doesn't give any peace to our mind, which doesn't give any peace, you know, to our self. On this matter, we'll continue. Which doesn't allow any, that doesn't allow the mental continuum to experience any peace, you see. That which controls these disturbing thoughts, these emotional thoughts, that which tortures us, tortures oneself, you know, in everyday life, you see. Which always gives trouble. Instead of giving peace and happiness, giving satisfaction, giving only dissatisfaction, unhappiness, so many problems in the life, in the day-to-day life, in this life, and without causing all the problems or sufferings in the coming lives, lives coming after this. So without mentioning that, without mentioning the long-run effect, the sufferings from these disturbing thoughts and actions motivated by them, that is called karma. Practice mindfulness in this the nature of the life, the intensity, the very nature of the phenomenon, the emptiness, which cut the root of all the sufferings, which cuts the root of all the sufferings, the root of samsara, this unknowing mind, this ignorance. Not only that, and then so through this, also by practicing mindfulness in this, then our daily life, all the activities become cause to achieve liberation from the whole entire suffering and causes, from all the suffering realms, the samsara. So by practicing mindfulness in this, and by realizing this, then one is able to guide others, benefit others deeper, able to liberate others from this, from the whole entire sufferings, the cycle of death and rebirth, all the problems in between, and from all the cause of the sufferings, that will say, one is able to liberate them from all the cause of the suffering, the disturbing thoughts, and actions motivated by them, that is the result of karma. So, so here, I'm going to do the oral transmission of the Heart Sutra, or the essence of wisdom. that which is the heart teaching of the Buddha, the whole entire teaching of the Buddha, Sutra in Tantra. So this is the heart. The very essence of all the Buddha's teachings. So this subject, Asutra, the essence of wisdom, this subject is the, this the one, the subject is emptiness, gone beyond wisdom. The teaching of the wisdom, say, gone beyond the wisdom. So this is the subject, the emptiness. The very nature, the ultimate nature of the of the I, I, as it is, so forth, all the phenomena. the essential teaching or meditation practice to liberate, you know, say, to cut the root of all the sufferings, root of samsara, and to essential, the essential meditation or the path, is to liberate oneself from all the suffering causes, not also from all the suffering realms, the circling, the aggregates caused by karma and delusion. Extremely important to be able to plant a seed on the mind. So sooner or later, to be able to understand these teachings, to be able to actualize, realize emptiness, to have the wisdom realizing emptiness. That which is the only remedy, direct remedy to cut the delusions, to cease the delusions and the karma, the cause of the sufferings, which is the only direct remedy. So, so therefore, it becomes extremely important realization or meditation practice, extremely important teaching. So to concentrate on this, say, on every word that I read, so this way it leaves so much positive imprint on the mind in this short time. Also, it's very important to think that whatever word that I hear, may I be able to express the meaning, the path immediately in my mind, in my mental continuum. And also to think, when you take oral transmission, also very important to think, each word that I hear, may I be able to may it benefit towards all sentient beings. And when I say these words, may it cause to express the path that is contained in the words, may it cause to actualize the path. So here's the emptiness, to cause and to actualize emptiness immediately in the mind of all sentient beings who hear the, those who hear these words from me. So this way, then every single word what one hear can be highly beneficial to oneself and to all sentient beings, can be very productive. The sanaya pandu sanaya 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 sanaya这些都错啊当这些当这些当那么谁把那么帮帮我下来我只需要这么一点现在那么就帮忙我怎么能把这么当这么看我没把我下来我再把那么你说呢错啊那这些这些那么谁把那么那么那么这么这么这么这么这么这么这么这么这么这么这么这么这么这么这么这么这么这么这么这么这么这么这么这么这么这么这么这么这么这么这么这么这么这么这么这么这么这么这么这么这么这么这么这么这么这么这么这么这么这么这么这么这么这么这么这么这么这么这么这么这么안치사마나라토는며칠을시대에바로레슨바라도있는데삼라디바메지타바메도가신지를레슨드네알란데바타라진도도신도나바시레생각한대장시대에바로레슨바라테네라나나바안타바도레슨바도바사인지에서아타바나시레에바레슨나가르베슨나가알는데나미냐마다냐냐도가되어시바시레나베슨나다마시바시레시레에바레슨나바타에바가다바라가다바라사마가다보디에서시레에바레슨바사마신도에서시레에바레슨바사마라바도네네데가자달레데안치사마사마진파바제제온조라레서시레바신레서레바신레서레在马德里的时代，反对什么？什么乱七八糟的？你什么那个主义？什么什么那个这个这个什么？现在马歇尔这边就什么什么什么，我这是王家大饭店，什么王家大饭店，什么什么什么，这就是真的。什么什么什么，嗯，什么这个什么什么什么，什么什么什么，什么什么什么，什么他那边的就是蛮多就是那个笨，那时候看到这个差生，阿卡什么的是什么东西？阿卡什么的是啥？阿卡什么的？大家怎么的？把那个把上面的那个泡泡工作怎么开？准备去多少把去？十万就是那边十万就是多少？就是多少就是十万？咱们现在不就拿多少出来了？感谢大家，今天咱们说。So now making a making a the requesting prayer. Other one which was and so those who are familiar then visualize aspects of Sanghata, then listen to all the Buddha Dhamma Sangha or aspects of Shakyamuni Buddha. The essence of all the Buddha Dhamma, say all the Buddha Dhamma Sangha. I want to visualize like that. All those who are familiar with the elaborate you know, visualization meditation field, so I visualize a nice small request to receive blessings, to receive the blessings, which means the realizations of the whole path to enlightenment with the mind, mindable sins and things. Yeah, that brings immediately and purified all the obscuration with karmas, one's own other sentient beings. And generated all the realizations. So much mind. All the realizations passed in nothing. So much mind. Mind goes to nothing. So yeah, so we're going to together is to live, you know, in this short time to live imprint of the transit of the whole path, the three principal aspects of the path of enlightenment. That is the very foundation to develop our mind path to enlightenment. So very important. So we're going to so when we reach mindfully, then that becomes a meditation. When we go straight through the path to the subject, when we go straight, that is called direct meditation. So we together. Prostration to the Venerable Gurus. To the extent that I am able, I will explain the meaning of the essence of all the teachings of the conqueror, the path praised by the conqueror's holy children, and the passes for the fortunate ones who desire liberation. Listen with a clear mind, you who are unattached to the pleasures of existence, and strive to render your freedoms and endowments meaningful. You fortunate ones who allow on the path that pleases the conqueror. Without pure renunciation, there are no means to pacify the aspiration for pleasant results in the oceans of existence. And embodied beings also remain truly bound by a longing for existence, therefore at the beginning seek renunciation. Contrast clinging to this life. By familiarizing your mind with the difficulty of finding the freedoms and endowments, and with the lack of time for leisure in this life, contrast clinging to future lives by repeatedly contemplating the inevitability of action and result and the sufferings of cyclic existence. By familiarizing yourself in this way, when you do not desire the perfection of cyclic existence, even for a mere instant, and continually aspire for liberation day and night, at that time you have developed renunciation. However, if your renunciation is not held by pure mind generation, it will not become the cause of perfect happiness, of unsurpassed enlightenment. Therefore, the wise generate the supreme mind of enlightenment. Swept away by the four torrential rivers, bound by the tight bonds of action difficult to handle, caught in the iron net of self-grasping, and thoroughly involved by the thick darkness of ignorance, they are born in boundless existence and incessantly tormented during their rebirth by the three sufferings. Reflecting upon the state of your mothers who are experiencing such circumstances and generate the supreme mind. Even though you have familiarized yourself with the renunciation and the mind of enlightenment, you will not be able to cut the root of existence without the wisdom realizing the mode of abiding. Therefore, put effort into the methods for realizing dependent relation. Whoever sees the ineffability of cause and result of all the phenomena of cyclic existence and nirvana and destroys all modes of apprehension, enters the path that pleases the Buddha. As long as the two understandings of appearances as infallible dependent relation and emptiness as free from assertions appear as separate, you have not yet realized the thought of the Able One. When, through the mere seeing of infallible dependent relation, that ascertainment simultaneously and without alternating destroys all modes of apprehending objects, at the time the analysis of the view is complete. Furthermore, appearance illuminates the extreme of existence and emptiness, eliminates the extreme of non-existence. When you understand the way in which emptiness appears as cause and result, you will not be carried away by the view holding to an extreme. Therefore, when you have precisely realized the essential points of the three principal aspects of path, rely upon solitude, my child, and generating strong effort, quickly accomplish your constant aim. there are many different translations, but seems like, I don't know some of the terms here, but it seems like the translation. So as I normally mention that yesterday I mentioned that as we meditated that how one has a responsibility of all sentient beings' happiness. So as I normally mention that how it is so crucial that to each individual each of us, how it's so crucial to to say. There are so many forms of there are so many different forms of practices, dharma practices, or other spiritual practices. However, most important one is practice of practice of compassion. Even though there's so many mantras recited, so many prayers, so many different forms of practices. in the life, in our life, it's a practice of compassion to others, the good heart is just missing, then then no matter what it would say, no matter whatever other practice one does, or even highest practice like tantra, Mahayana, the sacred mantra, Vajrayana, even the highest tantra practice one does, the tantra practice is the purpose of practicing tantra is the Mahayana, tantra. Even purpose of practicing that is to achieve full enlightenment, teacher Buddhahood, you know, the full enlightenment, fully for sentient beings. But however, if the practice of compassion, good heart is missing, then in those very high practice, what is called so profound and what is called the Dzogchen, or what is called the, you know, Dzogchen, the graduate completion state, whatever the meditation is called, profound or secret or however, you know, special, however. Even though those practices meant to be a quick path to enlightenment, but without compassion, they don't become quick paths to enlightenment. So without compassion, without compassion, good heart towards other sentient beings, even those, such those Mahayana, you know, Tantra practices, so. even those doesn't become cause to achieve enlightenment. doesn't become even cause to achieve enlightenment. And they can become even the cause. Not only become cause of samsara, but they can become even the cause of the birth in the hell, kind of goes to animal limbs. So no matter what is called the meditation, so profound and so you know, very high meditation or whatever it's called, the instant there. So without a good heart, thought of benefiting others without compassion, then the instead of benefiting, it become harm. If you say it become harmful, because how it is practiced, because you see, it is practiced with the improper. With the wrong motivation, say, with the wrong, say, attitude, you know. even regards to meditation practice, doing, yeah, prayers, the reciting mantras, or doing, say, meditation practices. If it's done with compassion towards sentient beings, then it becomes skillful means. they become skillful means to collect more merit, extensive merit, merit like limitless sky, merit, you know, like limitless sky. as one, as whatever practice one does, prayers or recitement or meditation, you know, mind thinking, mind concentrating, it will be fair. They be done with compassion towards all sentient beings, then collect merit, you know, numberless merit, skies of, you know, limitless skies of merit one collect. And also they become very powerful purification, means of purifying the mind, the obstacles, the observations or negative karmas. Not only they practice, so with the compassion, if 24 hours of our activities walking, sitting, sleeping, doing job, talking, so forth. If you do all this with the attitude, then that which is compassion to the Buddhist by say, compassion towards sentient beings, then you see, even one doesn't have time, even one doesn't have time to do many practices, doesn't have time to meditate for many hours or, you know, to say, to meditate for many hours or do many different forms of practices, you know, but even one doesn't have time. because of many, say, engagement or, say, obligations or engagement, however, family or so forth, many things in the life. but doing the most important practice in the life, that which is the, you know, always say, trying not to separate the mind from the good heart, the thought of benefiting others, you know, is compassion. The most important practice, the heart, the essential practice, where you get all the benefits, where you get all the success, all the success, happiness for oneself, and the cause of, especially the numberless happiness, all the happiness of the numberless of other sentient beings, from where you get, from where you can accomplish, gain cause. So, so even put all the effort, even put all the effort into this, into daily life. Whether one is doing a retreat, or whether one is studying Dharma, or say many hours doing recitation, or doing sadhana, or or many hours of doing job, just doing normal work. but however, if one is able to put all the effort into this, keeping in mind the total benefit of others, as the good heart, you know, compassion to others, then so the 24 hours activity, or the many hours of doing job, so forth, so all this became, all this, you know, itself became, all these activities became, as I mentioned yesterday, you know, if one lives attitude to the meaning of life and the feeling of universal feeling of responsibility of all sentient beings' happiness, as I mentioned yesterday, like that, with this compassion, with a good heart, so whatever one does, is the image, then immediately get transformed. Say, it become work for other sentient beings. It become work for other sentient beings. Immediately become work service for other sentient beings. Before it was work for oneself, for one's own happiness, you see. I become negative karma and non-virtuous. It was done out of ego, out of, you see, not only ego, but attachment, so forth. So therefore, now here, with this thought of benefiting others, immediately, immediately, the act, all these actions, job, whatever one is doing, it becomes like gold, like iron becomes gold, like iron transformed, you know, within say, iron transformed into gold, so that your action becomes, immediately, suddenly become, you know, like gold, pure and only sense. Not only cause of happiness, peace for oneself, now in the future, up to nothing, but but you see, happiness, happiness, temporal happiness, especially ultimate happiness, highest enlightenment. it becomes cause for all something. It becomes cause of all this happiness of, you see, of all sentient beings. Your action, through the thought, then become cause of all this happiness for other sentient beings. For every, you know, for every sentient being without exception. So therefore, so your life become like gold. Your life becomes, say, most meaningful, beneficial, very rich, very rich, and very, say your mind, very rich of merit, good karma, cause of happiness. So each, so every, so every action that is done, every, you know. So with this, so with this attitude toward the benefit of the sentient being, with the compassion towards us, towards all sentient beings, that every step, so with this motivation, every step, and you are going to do a job, and you're going for a job, and to the job, you know, so every step from the home, so every step, every step or every minute driving, you see, to, you know, towards the office or towards the place of the job. However, since you're done with this motivation, this compassion towards others, you know, for the benefit towards others, and so every step that you make has, you see, has, collect. Every step that you make, it collects extensive merit, you know, infinite merit, because here, one is going to the job, you see, for the benefit of all sentient beings. For the benefit of all the sentient beings, you know, for the happiness of all sentient beings. So that is the aim, that is the goal that you have in the heart, that you have the one is in the heart. So every step is so precious, so important, so precious. The effect made it like sky. So with this bodhicitta, with this compassion, you know, sort of benefit of other sentient beings. So if one is doing consultation, if one is doing speech, however, so with this motivation, benefit of others. So each speech that you do, every time you speak, one then collect you know, good karma, cause of happiness, like sky, like limitless sky. So each, because you motivated the talk, you see, to benefit all sentient beings, you know, for the happiness of all sentient beings. So like that, same thing. same thing. For example, eating and drinking. since it is done with this motivation, you know, our compassion for all sentient beings, with a good heart, every drinking, every action of drinking, eating, it becomes cause of every action of eating, you know, drinking, you see, like made it like sky. One collect infinite merit, infinite good karma, cause of happiness. So same thing with the job, 8 hours on that job, or how many hours on that job, same. So if you're done with such this motivation, you know, you see, instead of doing the work for one's own, for one's own happiness, you're doing the work, doing the job. With the motivation, they thought of anything others, you know, for that. Keeping in the mind the happiness of all sentient beings as a goal, that is a goal. Then, in the place of in the place of my happiness, in the place of that, keeping happiness lost and tending not as my heart. Therefore, the benefit of that is the job. So then, so how many minutes, hours, say how many say hours in a minute? seconds, I say, one that job, then one continuously collected made it like sky, become a cause of happiness. So this way, every single act with this motivation for the benefit of others, you know, motivation, bodhicitta or hyper compassion, you see, every single action becomes cause of happiness for all sentient beings. So that's why. that's why Lama Tsongkhapa, the disciple, called Thikkhu Rinpoche. So he wrote praises to Lama Tsongkhapa, Lama Tsongkhapa's qualities. So he has mentioned that even your each breathing, you know, breathing in and out, even your each breathing become cause of benefiting. All towards every sentence, towards all sentences. The reason why he, Lama Tsongkhapa, the two half disciple, you know, two half disciple, one is a terrible machine. So the reason why he praised Lama Tsongkhapa in this way is because Lama Tsongkhapa has a realization of bodhicitta, realization of bodhicitta. Yeah, renouncing oneself and cherish only other sentiments. Lama Tsongkhapa has the realization of bodhicitta. So, because this, if one has a realization of bodhicitta, this altruistic mind to achieve enlightenment, the person doing this, or the this attitude, you know, renouncing oneself, cherishing only other sentient beings, the thought working for, is only for other sentient beings. If one has this realization, then every single action, body, speech, mind, every single thing is dedicated in the 24 hours. So life is completely living for others. there's no thought working for self, seeking happiness for oneself. Not even for one second. there's no this thought. Only the thought seeing happiness for others. Only the thought working for others intending. So therefore, so whatever you do is everything totally for others intending. You see, happiness, not cause happiness for others intending. So. Mm. even one recites one mala mantra, it is only for others. Even one eats a bowl of food, it's only for others. Even one drinks cup of tea, it's only for others. So, whatever say, whatever one does, everything also for the happiness of others. So therefore, there is nothing in the life except working for, except only working for others, something else, benefiting for others, something else. So therefore, so this realization, compassion, this bodhicitta, loving kindness, compassion, loving kindness thought, this bodhicitta, if you have this realization, this complete transform the mind, only cherishing others, only working for others. So therefore, this is the, so this is the attitude to see, completely transformed in this new mind. So working for, before the working for self, seeing happiness for self, that's old mind. that's old mind and that self. That's, who follows that is all self. all self say. However, that mind is old mind. which continuation does not have beginning. It did not have beginning. And so because of that, still we are suffering. We haven't overcome. We're not liberated yet from the sufferings, and so there's a limitation. Then we have limit. So because of this, we have so much limitation to benefit others and human beings. Because not having developed the mind, see. Also, such a person like me, like that, with not having developed a mind, so therefore, there's so much limitation to be able to benefit, to be able to cause all the happiness, including enlightenment, all the, to be able to do perfect work, father, sentient beings. Therefore, so like this, the reason why the Lama Tsongkhapa disciple, he couldn't be seen. Praise to Lama Tsongkhapa, even you are breathing in and out, you can cause of all sentient beings happiness. Like that. Great enlightened being called Papangka. one great Lama who is a great scholar and a great yogi. However, in reality, enlightened being who completed the whole path to, who completed, actualizing the whole path to enlightenment. who wrote so many scriptures on the sutra, especially on tantra. not only steps the path to enlightenment, Lamrim, but the excellent, say, commentaries on the Tantra, on the Tantra path, on the Tantra path. different deities, you know, different deities, paths of enlightenment, the Tantra path, the three paths of enlightenment. unbelievable, said clear explanations, you know, on the Tantra path to enlightenment, from his own experience, you know, because based on Buddha's teachings, and then, you know, and from his own realization, you see, by practicing Buddha's teaching, the Buddhas and Buddha Shakyamuni Buddha and those Pandit yogis, those ancient Pandit yogis, their commentaries. So by having actualized, you know, by practicing those teachings and having actualized the whole path to enlightenment, so then he wrote, taught with his own experiences. So how did Pabongka teaching look? So did the incredible benefit say to the teaching Buddha and so many sentient beings. so many hundred thousands of disciples, see, that by giving teaching, you know, have practicing their path, they achieve realizations. The three principal aspects path to enlightenment, and then especially the realizations of the Tantra path, the six element of Vajrayana. So, so he, Pabongka Dajimbo, he had one disciple called Dogen Rinpoche. Dogen Rinpoche. He was Nyingmaba before. there are four, the Tibetan man sect. So this disciple Dogen Rinpoche, his early life, before he was a Nyingmaba. however, by making the story short, that so he came to debate, discuss on emptiness to one very high lama called Dhammaluchi Rinpoche. who is also, I'm not sure what is the present one or the previous one, probably maybe the present one. the present one, it was also my guru. I received teaching of initiations from Rinpoche. So, however, then later, this Dr. Rinpoche, he was advised by Dhammaluchi Rinpoche, if you want to realize emptiness, you go to Lhasa. You go to meet Pabongka in Lhasa if you want to realize emptiness. So he went to Lhasa. He went to Lhasa, then he met Pabongka, this Nyingbo. And then he received teachings and the guidance of Pabongka, this Nyingbo. So, in Tibet, quite close to Seram, quite close to Lhasa, quite close to Seram Monastery, there's Pabongka's hermitage cave. high up on the side of Rocky Mountain. there's his hermitage, and down below there's his monastery, Pabongka, this great yogis monastery. So I thought his disciples is talking about the but I guess he was meditating at the Pavankas in a hermitage in cave. And and then comes down each time when he had realization. So he comes down to offer, to know, offering his realization to Pabongka. Pabongka Tishinibu. So, so one day he achieves, say, to offer realization, to offer any realization that he achieves, then to know, offering to his guru. or to consult him, or practice, things like that. So one day, Dr. Rinpoche, he achieved, he has attained the 9 levels of meditation, the calm abiding in meditation. One of the very important, the realization that is called calm abiding. Which contains the technique and the procedures, you know, how to make, say, how to overcome, or how to cut the attachment, stretching thought, that is one main obstacle to a perfect, you know, meditation, or to be able to concentrate one pointedly. another obstacle. That is thing, you know, the say, the thinking thought, thinking, you know, thought. mind that which is no clarity, or that which is no, that which has no intention needs to concentrate on the you see, to concentrate on the object which is no intention needs, no energy or intention needs, you see. So singing thought. So this is another is the main obstacle to be able to do perfect meditation, or perfect, you know, the one pointedness concentration. So to be able to do perfect meditation, to be able to one pointedly, to do perfect one point in the concentration, one need to cut these two obstacles. So anyway, so by achieving these 9 levels, then you are able to cut the gross and subtle attachment getting thought, and gross and subtle the thinking thought. Then after this, then after this, the one achieves as a ritual ecstasy, body and mind. So then, after this experience, then one achieves samatha, karma abiding, the actual one, the real one. The similar one, one achieved before, after one has achieved this ninth level. So however, for the second picture, Pabanga's disciple, so he mentioned on this, and he had this realization. So one day he came to my offering I guess maybe with excitement, you know, to attempt to my offering to his guru Papangha, that he achieved this realization. So this samatha, this is karma bhaja, not just only one pointedly able to concentrate. However, if one has this realization, then one is able to one pointedly concentrate, you see, on the object, on one object. How many months, how many hours, months, years, even for eons, if one motivates, you know, to concentrate, then the concentrate lasts. The concentrate lasts, you see, as one motivated, as one planned, you see, lasts. One pointedly, one is able to concentrate for that much length of time. that no matter how much distraction there is around, like even from the big drum, you see, in the front of your ear, or the big drum, or or this, anyways, all those, say, the cars, say, the, say, police cars, or this, seven, or this, you know, the people taking to hospitals, seven, or train, you know, the train noise, the train, you know, train making noise, you know, and the, anyway, how much noise there is around that cannot disturb your mind. Cannot disturb your mind, cannot interfere your concentration. So that as you find that you see you're able to fix your thoughts on that, concentrate on that thought, how many hours, how many days, you know, how many months, years. So it stays like mountain. your thoughts stay on that object like, you know, concentrate. Able to concentrate on the object like, you know, mountain, where it's, say, very firm, see. However, not just that, but there's all those rapturous ecstasy, you know, bliss, say, very refined, this body and mind. The body become like cotton. You feel so light, nothing heavy or nothing unhealthy, you know. Yeah, like this. The mental feels like cotton. the body is so light. Not himself as cotton, but I mean not the mental himself, feeling cotton, not that, but his body, he feels the body, you see, so light, so healthy, so light, you know. So soon after having achieved this, no difficulties at all, the person can use the body, any virtues, you know, action or practice. You see, there's no hardships, there's no difficulties. person feels so extremely light, like cotton, the body. And then also mind, you see, the person has so much control of the mind that wherever the person, see, has so much control of the mind, you see, if the person, when the person concentrates, then the mind concentrates as long as the person wants to see it. So, and then if the person lets go of the mind, then it goes all the virtues, you see, on all the virtuous objects, and all the mind goes on all the virtuous, you know, virtuous objects. You see, it lets go. You see. So there's so much less danger. after having achieved after having achieved this realization, then the great advantage is that then any other meditation, and it's very easy to do, very easy to achieve realizations. Then especially is to say able to concentrate, so therefore able to, if one has realized emptiness, the ultimate nature then the realization of emptiness, that which is unified with the Kamabhati, the Samatha, then this becomes a preparation to develop the wisdom, and the wisdom to directly from the Four Noble Truths, the Buddha taught, the foundation of Buddha's teaching, the Four Noble Truths, true suffering, true cause of suffering, and true cessation of the suffering, and true path. So true path, which means wisdom, direct wisdom, directly preceding the emptiness, the very nature of the phenomena, the ultimate nature, you see. So that is the one that which actually ceases delusions. The cause of the suffering, cause of death, cause of rebirth, the cycle of death and rebirth, all these things, all the sufferings, the hell suffering, hell realms, the hell beings suffering, hungry ghosts, those beings, the suffering animals, suffering human beings, all the problems, and the other, worldly gods, Sura, Asuras, those who are living in higher planets, So all their sufferings, which is the delusion and karma. So this wisdom, so when you achieve this wisdom directly preceding emptiness, that which we call also rising path. So this is the one that which ceases. So from there it starts to actually cease, the delusions, the obscurations. By achieving this realization, then from there, from the right thing path, then start to cease, to actually cease the defilements, the delusions. So. So there's five paths. There's five paths to achieve the liberation from all the suffering and causes. However, the liberation from the whole entire, the suffering realm, the samsara. So five paths. The path. part of the merit and the part preparation, part of the preparation or part joining, part joining to the part that which is joining, joining to the third part. Then third one, right thing path, and then fourth one, path of meditation, and fifth one, normal learning. So that's by developing this, say, by developing the wisdom, realizing emptiness, with the method, with the method renunciation of samsara, the determination is to be free from samsara. The whole entire the suffering realm. So by developing this wisdom, then able to cease by achieving the third rational path, one removes the one-handed probe department. By achieving the path of meditation, then one remove the 16 the departments. Memory is not very clear, but I think maybe 16 the department. So by achieving the fourth the path of meditation, then it ceases that many departments. So then including the not just the delusion, but including the seed of delusion, completely removed. So it made impossible to rise again delusion, and that means impossible to impossible to create karma again, and impossible to rise to experience suffering again. You see, arhatas. You see, the emptiness of the ultimate nature of arhatas, the holy mind, that which is free from disturbing thought, obscurations, including the seed. So that is so that is what is called nirvana, soulless state. So same thing, in order to achieve that one is to achieve liberation, the liberation from samsara, from the whole entire suffering realm, you know, for oneself. Now, to achieve enlightenment for the benefit of all the numberless of other sentient beings, so again, one needs to achieve the five paths, the Mahayana path of merit, path of preparation, or the path, the mind path, joining. Mahayana Rising Path, the Mahayana, the path of meditation, then normal learning. that's the full enlightenment, state of omniscient mind. Normal learning, the state of omniscient mind. They said that all the understandings completed nothing more to learn. There's no existence. There's no one single existence to learn about or to discover. There's nothing that. So the understandings, you know, for that time completed. So again, so you see the third part, the Mahayana Rising part. So this is the part when you reach this level, then from there the wisdom directly pursuing emptiness. So that's the one that we from there starts actually ceasing the defilements, you know. from that during that time in part of meditation. during the rising path, the wisdom directly pursuing emptiness that ceases. So, just to get an idea, just to get a point. So there are many details within this path. There are so many details. So there's whole. there's whole subject. there's so many subjects, so many texts to learn, which is Abhisamalangarika, so forth. So many subjects to learn details about the five paths, details about this five path. it's like learning all the parts of the car or learning the whole pieces, you know, so every pieces of the airplane, studying, and you see how they how each pieces help to function, you know, to benefit the people, either, you know, for transportation, for safety, every single piece is how, you know, by putting together how they help. So that, similar, here, the five paths, you know, to achieve liberation from samsara, from all the sufferings for oneself. So like that, there are so many details to learn. in a monastery, like Saragat and Devon, the so forth in these monasteries, the monks they learn so many texts explaining of through text commentaries explaining all these paths. They learn, say they memorize and they learn, meditate. See, so many years, 30, 40 years, or however, going over those texts, So doing extensive learning. So it's like one person trying to learn every piece of the airplane, every part of the airplane. One person trying to learn the whole thing. You see, to get the idea of the whole, to get the idea in the mind, to get the whole idea of the whole airplane. By studying all the pieces that helps each other, you know, to be able to function, you know, safety, and to be able to transport the people, to be able to fly and so forth, you see. So like that. So however, so the rising, the third part, the rising part, you see, this one ceases the delusions that which you see, say, intellectual delusions or wrong concepts due to doctrine, due to wrong doctrine. So those. Those departments are ceased, yeah. Then the part of meditation ceases the delusions that you're born with. You know, this wrong concept, the delusions that you are born with it. You see, that's how to say, innate, from beginningless rebirth, you. You know, the delusion, continuation of delusion always has been there in the mental continuum. So this part of meditation ceases all that. Then one is in nirvana, or sort of a state. So now sensing, to be able to achieve full enlightenment for sensing beings, there are five Mahayana paths. So by achieving the right Mahayana rising path, one ceases the disturbing thought of obscurations. The gross obscuration, in other words, can be said gross obscuration, or the disturbing thought of obscuration, which merely interfere to achieve liberation for oneself, which is called mandi. So this path, so ceases that, and also ceases the subtle obscurations. The negative that which is the negative imprint left on the mental continuum by the delusion, the ignorance, If you look for the I, if you look for the I, you see, not just here, yeah. The I that which appears, we believe, there's a real I, there's a real soul. In the body, inside the body, there's a real self, real I, appearing like this. But if you look, but if you look for, but if one look for, if one analyze what is really exist or not, what is really there or not in the body, in this body, on this aggregates or in this body. If you really analyze whether that is really true or not, what is really exist or not, what is really there or not, if you analyze, could not find in this body, on this aggregate, collections on this, you see, aggregates, collection of the gathering the body and the mind, collections of these five aggregates, could not find this real appearing from there, this real self appearing from there, could not find. If you look for, see, could not find. If you analyze what is really exist or not, we discover it doesn't exist. If you don't analyze, looks like there. But if you analyze, it is non-existent there. It is non-existent. So this is what the wisdom discovers. What our wisdom, if we do analysis of this I self, that we believe, say, the times when we do not analyze, when we do not check, when we do not meditate, when we haven't realized the ultimate nature, the emptiness, that this emptiness of the I, the ultimate nature of the soul. The times when we do not meditate, when we do not analyze, so it appears as it is there, it appears as it is in this body, or on this aggregate. It appears as it exists. But when we look for, cannot find. When we analyze with with wisdom, what one discover is non-existent. That is totally so. That real I appearing from there is totally non-existent. Totally non-existent. Exists nowhere. Exists nowhere. absence of this real I, absence of this real I appearing from there. So that is the very nature of it. That is the what's called emptiness or shunyata, or the very nature of the self. So that is the reality of the self. What is the I? What is the I? So is that? empty. See, what is the I? What is the self? what is me, what is I. So that is, you see, that which is the empty of the real I appearing from there. You see, the I that was the empty of the real I appearing from there. So, I, there is the empty. Empty what? Empty of the real I appearing from there. And existing in the mere name. Existing in the mere name. No other reason. Because there's no other reason except because there's the valid base. This aggregate, you see, the collections of the gathering of the body and the mind. Or, in other words, the aggregates of form, feeling, cognition, say, compounding aggregates, all those mental factors, other than the all those mental factors, from the 51 mental factors. By taking out the cognition and feeling, the rest of the mental factors is a compounding aggregates, and there's aggregates of consciousness. So the collections of the five aggregates. So this valid base, the, you see, gathering of the association of the body and the mind, or these five, in other words, these five aggregates, because. Yeah, this valid base, which can receive the label. So, which can receive the label I. So, for example, first the child is born. The parents, you know, receive child. the child get born. Then after that, parents, you see, with their mind, they make up the name, the label. So like that. So first, there is the child, the association of the body and mind. You see, that is actualized. Then later, comes in existence. So depending on that base, then the parents make up the labels, you know. say, you know, the church or whatever, you see, make up the label. So, in this way, the base exists, comes and exists in the first, then the label comes after. Yeah. So therefore, however, the base is not base is not one with that label, this church. not oneness. If it's oneness, then it should happen. From the very beginning, as soon as the base exists, you know, the label will just see. it should happen at the same time. However, so those two are different. The child, you know, association of body mind, that aggregates, that base, and the label of the church, the name of the church, the label, those two are not separate, but those two are different. Then, then the association of body mind, or this far aggregate, this base is not oneness with the I. This base is not oneness with the I. this base and the label I, they do not exist separately, but they exist differently. the definition of existing the church is because the association of the body mind, of the which can receive the label of the church, you see. The definition the church exists is because the base, you know, the association of body mind of the church exists. so that's the main reason. Similar, why the I exists? There's no other reason why I exist. There's no other reason at all. There's no other reason at all except the reason is that this base, this association of body and mind, this exists. This, you see, that this base exists. Why the I exist? Why the I itself is why? No other reason at all, except the association of body mind is based in this it that exists. Which is which can receive label I. This association of body mind, which can receive the label I. you see, this valid base, which can receive the label I. that exists. So that's the main reason. It's just because of that. Just because that in itself I exist. And how that happened. let me put this there. What is that self? So, because the valid base association about the mind exists, so therefore I exist, self exists. So, what is that self? What is that I? So, if one analyzes, it is nothing. Except what is merely labeled by the mind. It is nothing except what is merely labeled by the mind. Realize is not this I that we believe in our 24 hours of our life, or from the birth from this morning, from the birth from beginning of the birth, what has been appearing to oneself, what we have been believing, is not that. It's not that. So that one we discover totally non-existent. That one we discover by doing analysis, through meditation, we discover that one is totally non-existent. Hallucination, totally non-existent. this real I appearing from there, which in reality, which is totally hallucination, a total non-existent, right there, not even an atom of it exists there. not having discovered this, not having realized this, not having recognized this, then the it is non-existent there, but not having recognized this, not having realized this, believing the illusion as the reality, this illusion as the real I appearing from there, is appearing, believing 100% believing that this is as a reality, as a, that actually exists as truly existed, as actually exists, or as a reality, believing that this is a reality, that this exists. So that blocked, to realize what I is, to discover what I is, and to discover the, how the I, to just to realize that block to see the ultimate nature of the I, block to see the ultimate nature of the I, that block to see the I is empty. The I which exists is empty. The I which exists is the empty of the real I appearing from there. empty of the non-existent I, you see. The hallucinated I, you see. So because of this wrong concept, hallucinate mind, you know. So this real I appearing from there. Even though the way that I exist, or the I which experiences the happiness, suffering, you know, the I which does walking, sitting, sleeping, that I nothing else except what is merely labeled by the mind. Even that I, merely labeled by the mind, that is the one which exists, which experiences suffering, happiness, that action of walking, you know, sitting, and so forth. but even that, merely labeled I, you cannot find. That is what normally exists, but even that middle level I, one cannot find. If you look for, one cannot find on this base, on this aggregate, you know, on this base, you cannot find nowhere. From the tip of the hairs down to the toes, nowhere one can find even the middle level I. So no question. one can find the mere level I does exist. One can find, but you cannot find on this base, on this aggregate. You know, you cannot find. So therefore, this I that appears to us on this aggregate or inside this body, which appears to us not merely labeled mind, nothing to do with your mind. There's a real I there, nothing to do with your mind, never came from your mind. Nothing to do with your mind. You see, that exists from its own side. So this one doesn't exist neither in this body or neither on this aggregate nor anywhere. It exists nowhere. So So that is the reality. However, the absence of this, emptiness of this, is the ultimate nature of the I. The very nature of the I. So what I was saying is, to conclude this, so the previous one, the hallucinated mind, the wrong concept, holding on, the I, not merely labeled by the mind, you know, existing from a certain side, something real one appearing from there, holding on this, as this is true. So this is the root of all the delusions, karma, all the sufferings. this one concept, this unknown mind, this ignorance. So therefore, say. So this becomes the root of all the suffering. This becomes the. This is the main suffering. We can say that this concept is the. This wrong concept of I, this wrong concept of the I, how you look at the I, how you think of I, totally wrong way. So this, you know, your view of the I, your view of yourself, that we say, the way you think of I, which is totally, you know, false. because the way that your concept, your mind believe the I doesn't exist. It's not that it doesn't exist anywhere. So therefore that's the hallucinated mind. So this is the main, we can say that this is the we're not aware, but the actual reality, this is the main suffering is this. This is the, say, say, the worst suffering is this. The hallucinated mind is the wrong concept. Believing the I is not what it is, but believing the I is something totally wrong way. So therefore now, so to cut this. Is the most important, the most crucial, to liberate oneself from all the suffering causes. So therefore, there is no other way except to realize emptiness, the wisdom realizing emptiness of the I aggregate. So this is the only, solution. This is the only. The remedy to that can directly cut this wrong concept, and by developing this wisdom, then remove all the delusion, liberate oneself from all the sufferings, and as well as one can liberate all other numberless of other sentient beings a similar way by revealing the truth to others and causing them to realize emptiness. So what I was saying before was this. the mind becomes uncontrolled. So just the talk went just like that. So the um, didn't go through what was planned, the subject. So, so what I was trying to tell is this. So here are the five paths to achieve liberation, you know, from samsara. So there are five paths to achieve my five mind paths to achieve enlightenment. So you achieve samatha, this karma abiding, you see. you have this great insight of what is called the insight, you know, wisdom. Inside wisdom, it's a great, say, the special insight, great insight or special insight, you see, great insight or special insight, you know. So, the wisdom of realized emptiness, the great, say, concentration, that which is a great insight, you know, wisdom, realized emptiness, you know, combined with the, unified with the samatha, the karma abiding, that which one has to achieve by proceeding through nine levels. during this path of preparation or path, the joining path. So without bodhicitta, if it's only the renunciation of samsara, then that time you have achieved this preparation path or the joining path. So this becomes the basis, you know. So this means to achieve this right thing path, wisdom directly perceiving emptiness. wisdom directly perceiving emptiness, which is called from the Four Noble Truths, you see, true path is that one. from that one starts to cease the defilements. To do with the wrong, the intellectual, the wrong doctrines, those defilements, those wrong concepts. then here, within the path of meditation, then ceases, again, same, wisdom directly pressing emptiness, which is developed more, you see, ceases all the, something is born, and then, the disturbing thoughts and the defilements. So the five Mahayana paths to achieve enlightenment. Mahayana path, the meditation, and then the preparation, rising path, meditation, normal learning, the full enlightenment. So, having achieved bodhicitta, the compassionate loving thought, all just to mind to achieve enlightenment for sentience, then also wants to cherish other sentience, you know. After having achieved this, then having achieved, on the basis of that, having achieved the insight, wisdom realized happiness, combined with the unified with the samatha karma abiding. So this concentration, one has achieved this, and one has achieved the path of preparation, Mahayana path of preparation. Then that becomes basis. Then that causes to join to this the Mahayana rising path. So the wisdom direct preaching emptiness. if one has entered in the Mahayana path straight without going through the Elliptical path, the other so to realize the five parts, or the hearer listener the five parts. So listener part has two types. Listener part to achieve enlightenment, listener part to achieve liberation from samsara, from the suffering realms for oneself. So there are two paths. Each one, each liberation, the to achieve the liberation of the solitary realizer, and the hearer listeners, the liberation that nirvana, arhatship. So both has one has to go through the five paths. So without going through, there are meditators, practitioners, achieve the lesser path first, then enter in the mind path, the five paths to achieve enlightenment. They are like this. After becoming arhat, then you enter in the mind path, to achieve enlightenment. Then other beings who, without going through the Hinayana or lesser path, you see, then from beginning you by exercising bodhicitta, renunciation bodhicitta, then you enter the mind path. So according to that practitioner, so during the lifetime path sees the gross delusion, disturbing thought of obscuration. I think 112. Then Mahayana path, the meditation, 16. The gross delusion, the disturbing thought of obscuration. The Mahayana path ceases the 116 subtle obscuration. Then Mahayana path meditation ceases the 116 subtle obscurations. Then of that, you see, the normal learning of full enlightenment. So like that. So, so now going back, the main thing is the samatha kama abiding. You see, this meditation, say what I mentioned before, kama abiding, this meditation which is on levels, trying to give an idea how this has become very important, you know, how this become beneficial for to overcome, to seize the delusions, cause of the sufferings, combined with the wisdom, realized emptiness. Because that's what I'm trying to say. So this Lama, he had this visualization of samatha. So he came to make offering his realization to his guru, Kabanga. So that time, Kabanga, that time Kabanga Desimbo was having a meal, eating samba, the flower from the barley, you see, flower from the barley. So it's particular Tibetan food, sampa, you know, they say, bah. So Pabanga Tsimba was eating this. So then his disciple, Dogen Rinpoche, to say what he has, realization of what he has achieved. So he explained, you know, that he has achieved this samatha, you know. Then Pabanga said, your realization is nothing, you know, comparing the benefit that I'm eating one bowl of food, this one bowl of samba, you know, this food, you know, mixed with tea, anyway, tea butter, tea samba. So you make a bowl and eat. So so Pabanga was saying, you know, your realization is nothing, having achieved samatha is nothing. If, you know, comparing the benefit, my eating one bowl of food, and just, you know. So what Pabanga was saying, that, you know, even though the samatha has incredible I mean, it has so much unbelievable benefit after you've only achieved that realization. So many benefits. unbelievable clarity of mind and so on, you know. See, I think, it's a kind of best way to be healthy, because so much of sickness, you know, doesn't happen due to the you know, refined body and mind. However, because you know that he has unshakable concentration, achieved unshakable, you know, concentration. You see, one pointless concentration. but there is no bodhicitta. You see, realization of the conventional kind of thought bodhicitta. You see, renounce oneself, cherishing other sentiment. So Pabanga himself has bodhicitta realization. So even during the eating, each bowl of, you know, for example, eating, you see, say it becomes, say, work for it is. Each one is naturally without effort, naturally is done for the benefit of each and every single sentient beings without exception. you see, for their benefit, for their happiness. So just naturally without an effort, this is the realization of bodhicitta. So you know, like that, every single action naturally for the benefit of, benefit of sentient beings, work for only sentient beings, you know, cause of happiness of all sentient beings. So each time, you see, each time, you know, each bowl of food eating, samba, is called pak. After Mr. President is called pak. So you see, each time is a complex merit, like merit, you know, limitless, infinite merit, like limitless sky. You know, so the disciple, you see, he achieves shine, which is incredible, the realization, but comparing to, you see, shine, but that doesn't have this benefit, but that doesn't have benefit, you know. he cannot have the, you know, without realization, without realization alone, you see, every single action you collect, it becomes cause of happiness of all sentient beings, and collect scars of merit, that doesn't have that benefit. So Prabhupada is saying, so your realization is nothing, you know, comparing to my one bowl of food, you know, eating. So anyway, so that's talking about the benefits of bodhicitta, you see, the person with heart, you know, how that makes the life. So most practical and most beneficial, like that. also Lama is a, say, Lama Isha, who is a kind of an older, all the three time Buddhas, who guided me, who took care of me like, you know, like a son, not only education, but with, you know, say everything like a father taking care, not only education, but basically food and clothing, the whole thing. You say means for living. However, one Lama was in Delhi before coming to America for treatment. So one day they happened to talk about one student, you know, whether Lama is upset or not, angry or not. So Lama mentioned that how is it possible that I can get angry because it is sentient being, because that person is a sentient being. How is it possible that I can get angry because the reason is because it is a sentient being. It's that person, you see. It is a sentient being. Means, how can I get angry? Because that is a suffering, you know, being. You see, suffering, sentient being. So how is possible? I'm just mentioning that because it is sentient being, that person is a suffering, sentient being, so how can one get angry to that? So which means, you know, how himself, you see, how it's possible to get angry. So that means, that implies having, without realization, without some realization, you see, that, you know, that cannot happen. Simply because you start from a sentient being, then you never get angry. That's it. A person such as like me, our experience that as a because it is suffering, because it is something being, that's not enough. That's the reason to not get angry. That's not enough. You see, just thinking that it's something being, you know, that's not enough to to stop, you see, getting angry. So anyway, so Lama says, how is it possible that I can say? How I can get angry because it is a it is sentient being. So that means having realization of the having realization of the bodhicitta and so forth. So I thought so I think stop here. So sorry. I went on and on. So much. So. Yeah, maybe it is one question. Maybe one question, I think. If there's one question. I don't think so. I think it depends. Depends if you have a clear idea of Buddhism and you have good English. That's it. That's it. Yeah.
Our experience.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I think what happened was that the problem my genetics are probably different. I think probably my genetics are very different. So yeah, I think it makes very, my genetics makes very slow. You know? So I think I have to request. I have to request the next parents to give me quick, you know, to give me a genetic that activate that acts very fast.
Ask them
to be born in New York City. Huh? What? Oh, I see. I should ask one of the parents in New York. That talks very fast. maybe it's too fast. Maybe it's parents who are genetics talking so fast. Then again, other people. Maybe that they can other people that don't understand. Maybe they complain it's too fast. Maybe have to look for medium. Not medium, middle one. not for medium, but middle one. Middle way. Okay. I understand. Yes. No, that's just my own. That's just my own genetics. You know, other people, other lamas, other Tibetan, their genetics will be different. Yeah. I wasn't. Maybe I wasn't born in Tibet. That's why. No, I was born in Nepal. Very close to Tibet. Very close to Tibet. The other side of Mount Everest. Mount Everest, here's Tibet. So here's Tibet, and one side of Mount Everest, Tibet, the other side is Nepal. It's a labeled Nepal, the other side. Sorry. The parents, my parents, their generation, their parents, their parents, the generation came from Tibet, from I think, from Kham, from lower part of Tibet. So I think there's some continuation. Maybe some the germs, what is genetic? Maybe some genetics came from Tibet. Anything else? Yes.
You talked today about the illusionary nature of time.
Yes.
And I guess my question is that we all have that illusionary high that we create and find really within ourselves. But is there a base of awareness that we all share, or is that illusionary too? Is there a base, not the I that I think of myself, but that ability to recognize, is that also illusionary?
The I that sees, the I that is
able to recognize you. In other words, if I separate myself,
yes,
from awareness, is there a difference?
If you separate yourself and your mind, what's that last one? If you separate these two,
I guess my question is,
yes, your awareness and yourself. If you separate them,
I guess my question was, we're talking about very high,
yes,
that we create and that we can't find.
Yes.
But there is some type of awareness. I think that we all share. Is that mind, is that something that, is that illusionary?
The awareness itself.
When it is itself, it's illusionary, you're saying? My question is, it's mind,
yes.
Created, and that we can't find a place for it within ourselves, but there also seems to be just an awareness, ability to recognize things.
Recognize, yes.
Is that the same thing, or is that
no? The awareness recognizes things. That is the mind. The awareness itself recognizing that is the mind. that's not I. That's not soul. that is a part of the basis. That mind is a part of the base. For example, in this life you have body and mind. So this association body mind is the base. It's the base, you know. It's the base. To be labeled I. To be labeled I. So that is the base, and the I is the label. The association of body and mind is the base. Your association of body and mind is the base, and the I is sort of the label. So the base and label, two different phenomena. So therefore, two different phenomena. Not only that, I is a possessor of my mind. So they were, when you say my mind, so that means I is possessor and mind is possession, subject and object. So therefore, that's not one. Mind with the possession, and the self, I, with the possessor, those two cannot be one. Those two are different phenomena. So the awareness that recognize things, that's not I. So that's not I. That's not the real I. You see, the real I, not which appears to us not merely labeled by mind, is not that, neither that nor even the merely labeled I, neither that nor even the merely labeled I. So that is that, none of this. None of this. But it doesn't mean that because you cannot find the I on this aggregate, you know, from the tip of the head down the toes, because you cannot find I. Because body is not I, mind is not I, even the association of both is not I. The I cannot be found anywhere. That doesn't mean the I doesn't exist. I exist. So like this. See. Yourself, see. this, you see, I, you know. The self cannot be found. Cannot be found on your aggregates, on the association of the body and mind. the self, the I, cannot be found. It's on your the association of body mind. there's no that real eye, you know, appearing from there. Cannot found that. In the middle level, I cannot found there. but that doesn't mean that I doesn't exist in this room. The I exists in this room. The self I exists in the Theta, you know, in the Theta now, in the Theta it exists in this hall. It exists. I, the self I exists, but not on your association of body mind. It doesn't exist there. Not found there. You see, until the aggregate, the association of body mind, you are the association of body mind. until it is in this room, in this hall, the self doesn't exist, you know, doesn't say cannot be found on this space. In your association of body mind, but exists in this hall. but there's no other reason saying that there's I in this indicator now, in this hall, not at home here. You see, there's no other reason except, you know, the association of body mind is here now, indicator, in this hall. That's the only reason. Even though you cannot find I on there. But you see, the minute when this association of body mind is absent in this hall, not here in this hall, the minute one is not here, then that I which exists, so that I which was in this hall, that time also doesn't exist in this hall. So now, for that I, what is that I? So that is then nothing. That's nothing other except what is merely imputed by the mind. What is merely imputed by the mind. Because of the existence of the base, the association of the mind. So therefore, you can see. Through analysis, when you through analysis by analyzing the eye like this, when you really come to see the eye, it's totally something else. No, it's never how you've been thinking. And after now, from beginning of the birth up to now, it's not that one. The mind constantly labels I, and immediately labels. So that is the evolution, or that's the how it exists, how it comes into existence. But After the I is labeled, every time when the I is labeled by the mind, it doesn't appear, when it appears back, to your mind, when it appears back to our mind, it doesn't appear back to us as this mirror labeled by the mind. So that's the problem. If the I appears to us all the time mirror labeled by mind, as it is mirror labeled by mind, then in this way, you see, impossible to rise anger, you know, and jealousness, you see, the clinging, grasping, attachment, the painful mind. So all those emotional thoughts, impossible to rise. If it's able to appear mere level by mind, you know, appear to us as it is, and if we're able to see that way, there's no base for delusion to rise. You see. So the essay. So therefore, then motivating karma doesn't happen. Then you see, creating the suffering, producing the sufferings, the samsara, the suffering realms, doesn't happen. So anyway, but you see, what has been happening is that after the mind, our mind merely labeled the I, when it appears back to us, it doesn't appear as it is merely labeled by mind. It doesn't appear back to us as it is merely labeled by the mind. It appears back totally opposite, you know, not merely labeled by the mind. Total opposite. So that is the hallucination. So therefore, you see, the reality, the I, is it what exists, what is merely labeled by the mind. So what exists is totally empty. The I, while it is existing, it is totally empty. While it is existing, it's totally empty. All existing from its own side. So then, while the I is totally empty of existing from its own side, see, I is existing. How? In the main name. So this is realizing this. Is the unmistakable realization of emptiness. You are able to unify the I. You are able to unify on the I, one object I, emptiness, and dependent arising. You know, the existing. You see, emptiness and existence. Emptiness and existence. You are able to unify on one object. The I. The I itself empty and existing, while it is existing, that is empty. So realizing this too without speech. So this is the unmistaken realization. Unmistaken realization of emptiness. If your realization of emptiness is you cannot unify these two, and you find contradiction of it with existence, then what you believe realized emptiness is wrong. when it comes to this point, you cannot define how it exists. You find a foundation of existence, you know, foundation to, you see, you find a problem. You cannot see the existence of the I. Then that means your realized emptiness is not the actual realization emptiness. That's just ordinary empty. So therefore, the I is the when you analyze, it becomes the I becomes so subtle, extremely subtle. you know, unbelievable subtle phenomena that that is not non-existent, but it's like non-existent. It is not non-existent, but it's like non-existent. Light doesn't exist. So it's extremely subtle, fine. Extremely subtle, fine, and that the borderline I exist, the borderline, you see, the borderline of existing the I. See, and non-existent is extremely fine, so subtle, extremely fine, fine border. Fine border. The borderline of the the existence of the I and non existence. So almost like non existence, you see. What is this? Just what is, may level by the mind. So like that. So we stop here.